people-first organizations will win in the future of work.
Your only real asset is your people.
We all want purpose-driven work.
HR-led organization is...
I'm sorry, but leaders don't lead empty desks and empty shop floors.
Welcome to the People Strategy Leaders Show. I'm your host, Sri Chalapa, founder and president of Engagedly, and a serial entrepreneur in technology, films, and music. This is where we talk to people leaders, business strategists, and organizational savants about leading in the time of change. What is working, what is not working, and more importantly, what we should be thinking about. Stick around to the end of the show. We will reveal how you can be our next guest. And now, let's engage.
Hello, this is Sri Chalapa with People Strategy Leaders Podcast. Today, I'm joined with Celeste. Celeste is an author and transformative leader with nearly 40 years in global HR and DEI, serving as Vice President and Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer for 10 years at Merck. She helps organizations understand true equity by debunking myths, demonstrating why equity creates winners across the board and builds a better world. She has an incredible story to share where in her first job as a reporter, she experienced firsthand the gender and racial pay gap, which led her on a journey from journalism to becoming a global leader in HR and diversity, equity, and inclusion. Celeste R. Warren is the author of The Truth About Equity, What It Really Is, What It Isn't, and Why Everyone Wins When We Get It Right. Well, welcome to the show, Celeste. It's an honor to have you.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Sri. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. So, you know, before we jump into it, there's a lot of, shall we say, controversy and pushback in the current business and political environment around DEI and then equity, obviously, being the E in there. For the audience, you know, when you say equity, what do you mean by that?
I think the best way, Sri, to talk about equity is the comparison to equality. So equality is we give everyone the same, regardless of, you know, what they look like, what their experience is, what their life experiences were, what culture they came from. You just give everybody the same thing. Equity understands and realizes that everyone didn't start in the same place. Everyone isn't in the same place. Everyone is different just from the standpoint of our identities, our life experiences, the different cultures we came from, who we are as human beings, our skill sets, everything. And so what equity does is says, okay, if we want to get to a certain collective purpose, whether that be a business mission, performance of a team, whatever it is, we're trying to get to this collective purpose, this desired state. We have to make sure that we understand each individual's current state. And so if individuals have different, they do have different needs and different abilities and skills. So equity allows us to say, okay, what does this person need? And this person need, and this person need, which is different in every case, not just some cases, but every case. And then you give them that, those acts of equity, so they can get to the collective purpose of the organization, of the team, et cetera. So that's sort of the difference between equality and equity. And that's kind of why equity is just so important that people understand that it's not this dirty word that's been politicized and sort of just made to seem like it's a bad word. It's a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah. So you just came out with this new book, The Truth About Equity. What compelled you to write about this book now? And then also, it would be helpful to understand, you know, what is it about this book that is going to be communicating something that's new and different than what people have understood historically?
No, absolutely. So what compelled me to write this book was just the anti-DE&I rhetoric, the lack of understanding, really, of what the essence of what equity is. I think people, you know, they lump DE&I together. And different diversity is differences in people. Diversity means differences. Inclusion is basically what you have to do to create a culture of inclusion around all of those people with all of their differences to get to that collective purpose. And so you create that inclusion, that culture, and then you have to put the acts of equity in place to get to it. People don't realize that from a human standpoint, from a business standpoint, we're trying to get to some destiny. And in order for leaders to understand that, they have to be able to apply these different acts of equity. So what compelled me to write about it was I was just fully understanding the misinformation that was going out there. As a chief diversity officer at a Fortune 50 company, what I was seeing over the changes, and it didn't just start, you know, January 21st, it was happening 2-3 years before that, where people were starting to question, okay, well, why is that person getting all of this stuff and I'm not? And instead of looking at it from the standpoint of there are things that that person is experiencing in the workplace, in society, that you're not, simply because of how they identify. And so we had to make sure that that was happening. And I was so disheartened because I felt like all of the work that I've been doing and my team had been doing over the past 10 years, not just within our company, but outside in the world as well, that it was just being tested, it was being challenged, it was being politicized, it was being bastardized, if you will. And so I just felt compelled to say, no, no, no. People need to understand the truth about what equity is and how it benefits everyone, not just some people, not just disenfranchised groups and different identities, but everybody. It's something that we have to have because everybody is different. Everyone is.
Yeah. And I think, to be honest, DEI has had, you know, obviously a lot of bad connotations now, but organizations have taken it away from their mission statement, website, their values, their and many of them have shut down those departments and the roles as well, or they repurposed it. But it's not going away. That's my hope and what I'm seeing. I think it's probably paused, but we have probably undone several years of progress in that space, especially since COVID. Because COVID really gave us the reset movement to say, how can we build a more inclusive workplace? You know, and then obviously Black Lives Matter around that time as well was a good way to start the conversation in more depth and face it head on. Because we have so much, you know, issues in our inequity in our society. And it's not just about racial differences, but it's also socioeconomic differences. To some extent, gender differences as well. And hopefully the progress is still being made. Where do you think the current environment is getting it wrong? Like, why do you think, first of all, what's your view on why you think there was such a strong blowback? What are they getting it wrong?
Yeah. So I think a couple of things. One, I would say, if you look at history, and I'm not a big history buff, but in some areas I do like to look at, especially in this area. But when you look at history, and not just in the United States, I mean, the country. Every country has the haves and the have-nots. And it's just, you know, it's identified in different ways, you know, whether that be classism, whether that be, you know, from a gender standpoint, LGBTQ plus standpoint, it doesn't make a difference. There are groups of people that have, and there are groups of people that have not. And so throughout history, when there has been a swing towards more liberal stances, there inevitably is a swing back to more conservative at some period of time, whether that be 2 years, 5 years, 7 years, whatever. That pendulum continues to swing. And it's sort of like just reaction, action, reaction. That's all it is. And so I think that's one thing. When we saw, Me Too, and then the murder of George Floyd in 2020, the pendulum had swung all the way towards, organizations, society, really wanting to do something about what was happening across the world and standing in solidarity. But now, then you started to see in the years following 2020, the pendulum swinging back. And I think, one of the indicators was in 2023 in the United States when the Supreme Court shot down Roe v. Wade, shot down also the Harvard and North Carolina case where they said that universities and colleges can't use race as one of the criteria for how they select students for their institution. So we started to see a lot of these things. And so that's one thing. It's just a matter of, that's how time and history has taught us that this pendulum swings. The second thing, Sri, is that we're all familiar with that illustration, and I talk about this in the book. It's from Deloitte, but where there's a cartoon where there's three people standing on one rock in the first illustration, looking over the fence, and the person on the right can't see over the fence. Person in the middle can barely see. Person on the left can see over the fence easily. And then you get to the second illustration. The second illustration is where we are right now, where the person on the right has three rocks to stand on, can clearly see over the fence. Person in the middle has two, can clearly see over the fence. The person on the left still has that one rock. What is happening now? The acts of equity that we've been putting in place over these years has caused disruption. And what I mean by that is, in my analogy of that illustration, the person on the left that was standing on one rock in both of those illustrations, the first and second, they're looking to their right now and they're saying, well, how come they have three rocks and they have two rocks and I just have one? Because they don't see that the fence is there. And in my analogy, the fence represents all of the longer term isms that exist in society and organizations, sexism, racism, homophobia. Those things built up over centuries and centuries and centuries. And those are going to take longer term strategies to tear that fence down. But that person that was standing on the one rock, they have always been able to see over the fence for a variety of different reasons in their life experience, in how they identify, et cetera. And so they don't know how that fence manifests itself to the person on the right and the person in the middle. So as practitioners in DE&I and leaders and human resources practitioners, they've been doing the work very diligently to put those rocks in place. And those rocks are different acts, women's leadership programs, employee resource groups, different types of diverse sourcing strategies to acquire talent in organizations. A lot of those things, special grants and things for persons of color and marginalized groups historically. And so they're looking, and we're putting those rocks in place, but at the same time, we have to be explaining to that person on the one rock to say, here's that fence, it's there. Here's how it manifests itself to these other individuals who are experiencing different things because of the fence, because of the isms. And then not only explaining to them and talking to them about it, but getting them to be active allies so they join together, get in the boat, grab an oar, and row, help us to row and move the boat up the river. This is what's happening. And so that person on one rock, they're looking at the other two and the people that are helping and putting those rocks in place. They're looking at it as preferential treatment. And that's where the rub comes because you're doing illegal DE&I. You're giving them preferential treatment that I don't have. And that's where we have to do a better job of explaining it, continuing to put those rocks in place because the fence is still there, but also we have to be putting the longer term strategies in place to tear down the fence, which is very, very hard work. So we have to do all of those things. We have to take a multi-pronged approach to be able to get to that third illustration where the fence is gone, the rocks are gone, and everybody can see the beautiful mountains ahead.
Yeah, I think the important thing to also explain, which I think is part of what you're talking about, is it's not a zero-sum game, mm-hmm. right? Just because somebody has three rocks doesn't mean you don't get anything, right?
Yeah.
It's not, there's only so many rocks to give. It's not like that, right? There's more mm-hmm. rocks to be created. So this whole mindset of abundance is important, especially in today's world where we are living in a world of abundance, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no reason for people to be left behind because of that. There's enough, I'll just take a society example, right? There's
enough
to feed the whole planet probably twice over at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's enough, even though there is a housing issue, shortage, but there is actually enough houses and enough space. There are people who have seven houses and there are people who have no houses. So there's that issue as well. You can only live in one house at a time. You can't live in seven houses at a time, right? So there is those attributions. Some of it will create some societal disruptions. And I think has in the past. I think there's been some blowback because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to actually switch back a little bit about your own, you know, achievements and accomplishments as a DEI leader at Merck, and then you were also at Kraft Foods before that. Can you walk me through, without, I guess, divulging maybe too much proprietary information, like some of the key changes and achievements that you were able to accomplish there?
Yeah, I think so. A couple of things come to mind for me. You know, diversity and inclusion was very much over the decades viewed upon as a U.S. thing. You know, that's a U.S. problem. When I used to travel the globe, when I first got in this job 10 years ago, and I'd go to different countries and I would bring up the words diversity and inclusion, I'd get the hand in my face like, hey, that's a U.S. thing. Don't bring that into our country. We don't have those problems. And so I had to sort of change the conversation so they could understand that, as I said earlier, every country has the haves and have nots. And if you don't understand it, then go pick up a book and understand the history of your country. Every country has those challenges. They have a history. And so make sure you understand that and then put some programs and policies and practices in place where there aren't that gap isn't there anymore. And so whether that be wealth, whether that be classism, whether that be economics, social, whatever it may be, you have to close the gap. And so the big thing for me was aligning and putting together a global strategy. So it was globally, it was an umbrella that the whole organization could wrap their arms around, but it was also locally relevant because people saw in each country what they can do to continue to drive inclusion and put equitable practices in place for their people.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's so true because, you know, I'm from India.
Mm-hmm.
And India has a different version of this issue, right? And over there, it's caste. Your last name matters because your last name signifies where in the caste you are. Sometimes it's also about, and that's probably true for every country, you know, sometimes it depends on which college you went to. And so that's like, even if you are qualified or not, if you went to a certain college, then you get a special preferential treatment. That's probably true even in the US, you know, if you went to an Ivy League versus a state school, you know, you get mm-hmm. a different preferential treatment. So that problem exists everywhere. And I think we have to address that because, like I said, there's enough for everyone and so equitable society makes up for a better world. Now, talking about that topic of better world, you know, you said equity benefits everyone and makes for a better world. Like, can you explain a little bit more about the person standing on that one rock? Like, what is your motivational speech to that person who's standing in that one rock?
Yeah, so I try to make it really, really easy so it isn't this big, complex thing that they don't understand. And so an example that I give is in the space of persons with disabilities. If you think back a long time ago when everyone was just starting to get, you know, iPhones, right? And whatever that was, 10, 11, 12, 15 years ago. And one of the things, people who had a visual disability, it, you know, they couldn't use the phone because they couldn't see the apps, they couldn't see all of this. And then voice augmentation, voice response was created, right? For persons with that were visually impaired. And so fast forward, that was something that was created for a group, an identity of people, because they were disabled. Now, what do we have today? We have Siri, we have Alexa, we have Google, we have this, we have that, we have all of these different things. And that started out with something that benefited a very small group of people who were visually impaired. And now we all use it. And so that's just an example of a very simple example of when we put those rocks in place for one group, and then it expands and it grows to where all of the groups can benefit from it and use it to sort of just elevate the landscape. Because that technology elevated the landscape tremendously over the last over the years. So that's just that I like to use that simple example because it's very simple and it doesn't go into this big, huge debate around societal issues or economic issues, because we could talk about housing situation, we could talk about education, we could talk about all kinds of different things, you know, in the workplace. When you have a team that you're a manager, you're a leader, and you have a team of 10 people, and you're struggling to produce the output that your management is telling you need to produce. And you have to look at this team. If you're looking at that team like, okay, I'm just going to give them all one rock, you're not going to optimize the team. You're not going to optimize the performance of your team. You have to give some people one rock, you have to give some people two rocks, you have to give some people four rocks or five rocks, because that's the skill and the capability and the need that they have to be able to perform at the level that's needed for the output of the team. And when the team succeeds, everyone succeeds on the team. So those are just a couple examples. And depending on who I'm talking to, I like to keep it simple because they need to understand the importance of equity and why it does benefit everybody in the long run. You're not going to convince everybody, Cherie. There are people that just they feel a certain way, they haven't embraced diversity, equity, inclusion, they haven't opened their minds and opened the aperture a bit to understand, and that's okay. There's always going to be, you know, a group of people that don't agree with what you or I are talking about. But for the most part, those people that are kind of using this phrase, sitting on the fence, and that are sort of, okay, well, I do want to understand because I want to educate myself so I can understand this concept. That's what who the book is for as well. Not just the ones who truly understand it, embrace it now, but also for those ones that don't understand it and want to embrace it, want to understand it.
So in today's environment, how would you ask organizations to still continue their programs, if you will, or their approaches to a better, equitable work environment while still, living within the new rules, if you will?
And so, you know, what I say is stick to from a foundational standpoint, stick to the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Letter of the law is the Civil Rights Act. We know we can't discriminate based on in the United States, you can't discriminate based on all of the different identifying factors, right? Race, sex, orientation, gender, religion, everything. You can't discriminate based on that. And so we need to make sure that we stay to the letter of the law. Now, when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion, you need to make sure that you're continuing to do that body of work because, as I was saying earlier, everyone is different. Not just groups of people. I'm an African American woman. All African American women do not think and act and talk and are the same. We have different profiles. We have different ways that we think. We have different ways that we approach things, et cetera. So when you are looking at people individually and meeting them where they are to move them forward in an organization to get to that optimal performance that you need, That's why it's important. And that's the work that we're doing in diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's basic manager 101. It's leadership 101. How do you make sure that you are leading an organization so you can get to your collective purpose, whatever your mission is of your organization? In order to do that, you have to put things in place that are going to be able to move people along. And everyone doesn't move along in the same pace and in the same way. And that's why you have to make sure that you're meeting people where they are and pulling them along. That's the essence of what we're doing. Management and leadership 101, business and marketing 101. Let's take it into the marketing standpoint. We know that when we're putting marketing strategies together, if you don't understand the customer base, you've lost. You can't be effective in your business. And so understanding the customer base with the demographics of that customer base and understanding, okay, well, how do I market this whatever it is product to them so they will want it? That's marketing 101. And the needs of the customer vary. They vary by culture, they vary by identity, they vary by the various different differences, the diversity of the customer base. So integrating diversity, equity, inclusion into your marketing strategies, it's marketing 101. So that's the piece that I think people just, they don't fully understand. You're not going to get rid of diversity, equity, and inclusion. You can call it whatever you want, but we're talking about basic talent management. We're talking about basic business fundamentals. This is what we're talking about. And in today's world and in tomorrow's world, the customer, the labor market, they look very, very different than what they did 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, well, how can people learn more about you? When does your book come out? Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, the book was just released in the month of July on Amazon.com, so you can find it there. And again, it's the truth about equity, what it really is, what it isn't, and why everyone wins when we get it right. And so you can find it there. You can also find it on the website, www.crwdiversity.com. And you can find the link to buy it there as well. But I just encourage you, if you want to educate yourself on something that has been very polarizing in today's world and understand the true essence of it, and it's not a dirty word, I encourage you to get the book.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. It's not a dirty word at all. Thank you, Celeste. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you for the invitation, Sri. I've enjoyed talking with you.
Sri Chalapa here. Thank you so much for listening to the People Strategy Leaders Podcast. If you are a successful leader or a people strategist who would like to be on this program, please visit engagedly.com/People Strategy Leaders Podcast. If you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media? If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag People Strategy Leaders. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Follow me on LinkedIn and Twitter at Sri Chalapa. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time. And thank you to Patrick Ramsey, sound engineer at Kalinga Production Studios, for recording and mixing this show.